Well, lots happened, Barbara.
A lot's happened since.
Since the last podcast we did, we've been otherwise engaged. So I don't know. Say hello to the podcast listeners.
Good evening, podcast listeners. We're sheltered at home, so to speak.
Yeah. Whoa, watch out. Okay, so anyway, yeah, we're sheltered in place. Can you believe that? Everybody's isolated. Mississippi, what state opened up their economy?
No, Georgia.
Tried. They closed back down?
I think they had to because when they did that, all of their infections started to spike.
Who said? Who's counting the votes? I mean, who's counting the infections?
That's what happened, Michael. That's what was reported. So they had
who reported it?
It was all reported in all the media. They had to stop it. They had to shut it back down.
What happened exactly? So they opened up one store and an infection.
No, it wasn't one store. They opened up.
I know it was more than one store, but how did the infections go up due to the opening of the economy? I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm just wondering.
I didn't.
Where's the correlation? And they got the data in and suggested that.
Started leaving their homes and going out unprotected and being too close to other people, and they started socializing with people that they knew. And
well, they started socializing with people that they knew. Maybe they, you know,
maybe they went to bars, you know, the way people used to do all of that sort of thing. They weren't. They stopped being cautious and they stopped protecting themselves, and the infection started to spike because they were spreading the disease. You know, it was spreading. So they had to close back down. It was foolish of them to do that. They were told it was foolish to do that. They were told not to do it, but they did it anyway. But that's Georgia for you.
Now, we don't disparage the Peach State. I happen to like Georgia. I've traded property in Georgia, and I believe that Georgia's
like
a strong...
Peaches.
Hey, looks like FedEx likes Georgia.
I like peaches.
Oh, you like peaches. Good.
I do.
I never did like the fuzz on peaches.
And my college roommate lived right outside of Atlanta for many years, but now she's retired to Hilton Head, South Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Didn't South Carolina or North Carolina open back up?
No.
Let me go to my database
no,
here.
I don't believe any places have opened back up other than Georgia.
Well, let's not guess. We have technology.
Okay, you should look it up. Google it.
Which states are open for business post-corona? Okay.
Here's what I found on the web.
Okay. America open for business. States including Texas, Ohio, Illinois begin relaxing coronavirus lockdown rules. What's the date of this? May 1st, so it's relatively new.
That's yesterday.
Oh yeah, well, that's relatively new. You know, things are moving fast now. Anything
so
can happen.
They didn't totally.
They're
going
to tell us in the morning we've got 5 million new cases. How do you know? Because we saw 5 million people that didn't have the coronavirus, so they must have it.
Michael, can you please read what relaxing exactly means? Because obviously it wasn't opening everything back up. So what does relaxing mean?
Let's have a look.
And you're keeping us all in suspense.
No, you should, you know, you're a co-host. Talk to the audience about something else. Well, you want me to stop and read something? I don't know.
No, I thought you could just quickly read the first paragraph and it would give you an idea.
No, no, this is why they have a body to an article. It's not all in the first paragraph. What are you just so used to Twitter or what's the next of the Nat memory social media? I would suggest, though.
I'm not sure what you're talking about. Facebook?
No, I'm talking about the I'm talking about the social media for those of the shortened memory capacity. I mean, I'm not going to put they're not going to put the details in the first paragraph.
Well, if you ever took a journalism class,
it said I write. I'm a writer. What are you talking about?
I understand that you're a writer, but I don't know if you ever took a journalism class.
I mean, I'm a writer. I write for Forbes. I don't have to take a journalism class.
Not necessarily.
I don't care. I don't need a journalism class.
But when you write Forbes, you're not writing as if you're writing a newspaper. So when I...
Well, I don't care about writing for a newspaper. I write for Forbes.
They taught us to put all the
salient... Anybody buy a newspaper still?
All the salient facts. Yes, people do. All the salient facts. Ooh,
old people.
In the first... No, all newspapers are online. All the salient...
No, but people don't buy them. I asked, did anybody buy them?
Online.
No, you don't.
Yes, you do.
I actually could tell you all you got to do is avoid their cookie. And no. If they can't cookify you as far as you have been to that site and you run it through different browsers, or if you had any other way to obscure them knowing it's you, you read that stuff all day long. Not to mention you can go to the Wayback Machine and get it. They can't stop you if you want to read it, but who wants to go through that much work to read a newspaper?
I don't know. It seems like an awful lot of trouble to be one of Fagin's
Who's Fagin?
Pickpockets.
Fagin, oh yeah, Fagin. Yeah.
Charles Dickens.
Well, here to answer your question, we got Alabama, Arizona, Idaho, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Maine, Nevada, New Mexico, North Dakota, Ohio. What's going on? Oregon, Pennsylvania. Look like everybody. Texas.
They're relaxing.
Utah. But they don't have a definition. All these different places did not agree on what relaxing means. It just means we can't keep these people inside any longer. And they go find out, well, so everybody's not dying and we're willing to take our chances. And like Dennis Prager said, when it's safe means never.
Would you please read Maine to me, since I have a particular Maine.
It
and
says,
Maine has had very few cases.
Do you want me to read it? You don't.
I do.
It's okay, here you
short.
Go. What's very short? You read
Maine.
This before?
No, I saw it as you were flipping through.
Oh, how many inches is it?
I don't know that, Michael. I don't have a ruler on me.
Okay, well. Maine's Governor Janet Mills announced that the stay-at-home order would be replaced with a die-at-home order. What? Oh, no, I read that wrong. That's not funny. Come on, gallows humor. Come on now. Maine's Governor Janet Mills announced that a stay-at-home order will be...
Sorry, folks. He's cracked himself up again.
Yeah, I do this. I'm the only one who gets my jokes. Wait a minute. One more time. Maine's Governor Janet Mills announced that the stay-at-home order will be replaced with a stay-safer-at-home order effective May 31st. A stay-at-home order will be replaced with a stay-safer.
At home.
So, but see, stay is still there.
That means
how do you stay
means,
if you stay at home? How are you gonna stay safer at home? That means don't have any company.
No, that means you're safer if you stay at home, but they're not forcing you to stay at home.
And listen,
I guess
you know what?
I don't know. Can you read on?
However, barbershops, hair salons, pet grooming, drive-in movie theaters, drive-in religious services. Oh, wow.
What is a drive-in religious
service? Well, it's a tent revival. And so
you drive into the tent.
No, you just drive up there. They had a guy out there on the podium speaking with you. You never heard of a tent revival?
Yes, but you park your car and get out and go into the tent.
Listen, where do they still have drive-ins? In California, there are no drive-ins.
Well,
it might be one or two, but that's the most valuable flatland.
In Maine, they have drive-ins.
Well, obviously, they need some gentrification or something.
No, it's become popular again. You know, to people who never experienced, there are generations now of people who never experienced drive-ins. So now that's a whole new thing.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me see. Drive-in religious services, auto dealerships, and car washes could restart on a limited basis. Some outdoor activities such as golf courses are also now allowed on a restriction. See, it's all about restrictions. We don't need these politicians thinking they can lord over us.
Figure it out. Are we going outside?
I did tell you
last week to please let your client know.
What?
A golf enthusiast.
Man, he better call the golf course. I don't have time to be... What about a golf announcer?
two golf courses in Orange County.
Well, listen, if he's such an enthusiast, he should find that on his own. I don't have time for that.
I know, but you usually like to keep your clients informed.
Yeah, but not of golf openings, unless they're buying a golf course. And who's doing that?
He's very stressed at the moment.
Well, everybody's stressed. I'm stressed. That's why we're doing
it.
Let's see. Let's share with them a bit of something here while I figure out something else to talk about. Somebody posted in our group today, Pope Properties group. Yeah, there was this spam. I don't know. Firm. Real Estate Solutions. We buy houses all cash.
No, that's just, you know.
Yeah, hard that's money, like fix and flip.
I think that's spam.
Well, I don't look at it as spam.
I think the AI found us because they searched groups.
You're wrong.
Okay.
You are wrong. This is a member that's admitted to the group. I'm the group administrator.
Oh,
well, you should listen.
Who?
No. Don't shift gears like you're in the know. You're not in the know. You had a totally different take.
I didn't know you were the administrator.
I created the group. Who else would be the administrator? You?
I have no idea.
Well, exactly. You just trying to get out of that Pope of speaking. No, I'm not allowed it. Die or the sword. You lose. No, this person, but it's traction. They took the time to feel that maybe somebody might want their services. So they buy houses all cash.
Okay. Is it someone who's a member of the group?
Those are the people that can post in the group.
Okay.
Give them a call. See what they're doing. And you have to encourage people to post, Barbara. You can't just be like, hey, people got to like spread their arms. And, okay, they get out of line. Like when... Michelle and the other guy were going back and forth a little bit too hard. Because,
wasn't that a friend of yours?
They are. It's a group. This is not a group of unknown people.
No, I thought that took place in a different group.
What group did you think it took place in, Barbara?
Your old crony group.
Old crony, huh? No, old crony group. No, not that one. No. But either way, I would say, yeah, that's good. They took an interest. I'm going to like it.
Okay.
I'm going to have to tell them, keep the ads to a minimum.
I don't know. Maybe the ads could be helpful because other advertisers might think, oh, there are people advertising on that site. You know what?
Yeah, I'm a leading guy low. He posted something. I get tired of posting. I think sometimes the people become... Listen, I had to pot the group with information and things to, like, you know, make it worth stopping by.
Sure.
I mean, it's like your display window. And I'm not trying to sell. We're not trying to sell.
Content is important.
Yeah, that's true. We're not trying to sell anything. We're sharing information. Right. The deals will come from the energy and the synergies that are going on, but you got to create some grist for it. And then once that you cook it up quick.
Cook up the grist?
Yeah, cook that too. Throw it all in there. Package it up, get it out of here.
That's not like grits, is it?
You got still grist. You know, what
grist.
Is it?
Grist.
Yeah.
Not grits.
Yeah, grist. Throw some grits on top of it too. That look right, make it look right. Smooth it out. Get it out of here.
I don't think I like grits that much. Although it's sort of...
I don't like grits.
It's kind of like cream of...
No, it ain't got no cream. That's like just... It's like you eat it.
I don't like
it. Like grits always seem to find its way into your stomach and hangs on the side.
I don't know. It seems like wallpaper paste or something.
Okay, but you know what? You buy grits and toilet paper. Grits and toilet paper.
Is that an old saying?
I don't know.
So thank you, Michael, for reading the relaxed conditions in the state of
there was no information really there. Every state that's opening has a different relaxed condition. Stay at home, safer at home, inside the home, on top of the home. What is all this?
They have different businesses that they've designated can reopen.
Listen.
Different states have different businesses that they've allowed that designation to.
Yeah, but see, this is the allow part. This is the designation. There is no, we got common law for a reason.
Well,
we've got Interstate Commerce Act for a reason. We have all kinds of...
The federal government decided in this particular condition to allow each state to make their own decision.
And that was the correct thing to do.
Because each state is very different.
Right.
Like the state of Maine, which is what I asked you to read for me.
I just read it. It didn't say anything. It says stay safer at home.
It did the second paragraph down. It listed the types of businesses that would be reopening, but not until the end of May. So they're relaxing doesn't actually start until
the
end of May.
Who says they had power in the first place?
The states do have power.
Okay.
As a matter of fact...
No, I know states' rights and the rights not given to,
states
you know...
States have power.
Over
they
retain.
Have power.
I mean, it makes sense, of
right,
course.
Right here in Orange County, it was the county that decided to open beaches, where
what,
all the
what,
other counties had decided to
listen,
keep beaches closed.
In Orange County, those people were not going to stay cooped up in the house on a nice day. They said, well, with the
they
day...
They came from other counties into Orange
We
County.
Don't know where they came
we
from.
We do. 40,000
How? What?
People,
you got tracking 40, on them?
40,000 people showed up at the beach last weekend.
Well, I would think the people closer to the city and the beach
and
would be the ones that went.
No,
since they're cooped up also.
Because those people can walk to the beach any day.
Well, this might have been the day because they weren't used to being socially
Michael,
isolated.
People came from other places.
Oh, you know
they
their
came
name.
To Newport Beach and
okay.
to Huntington
well,
Beach.
Well, it's not
beach.
Like it's hard to find.
And it
it's
wasn't
the only
just
thing
the
is a Pacific Coast
the residents wouldn't have needed to do that.
You don't know what the residents need to do after being isolated. This is the thing. Hey, let me, you know, Dennis Prager.
This is what I'd like to know.
What would you like
Since
to know?
Since all the parking lots, knows this, I'd be
I
really
know.
Curious to get a piece.
Please let us know.
Since all the parking
anybody
lots
hears this.
Were closed, they opened the beaches, but they
Next
kept...
week's lotto numbers are...
Are you trying to be rude?
No, I'm just in case this isn't a time capsule. We could just tell them.
Never mind.
No, I'm not being rude. Go ahead. I want to know. I'm just, you know, come on. What's up?
I said that... They opened the beaches, but they closed all the parking lots. They closed the boardwalks and they closed the pier. So they thought that kind of gimmick was going to keep most of the people away and just allow, you know, nearby people who could walk to the beach or bike to the beach come. Well, that's not what happened. I don't know how the people got here or where they parked, but people came from far and wide and they ended up with 40,000 people in Newport Beach. Now, Newport Beach has... that whole peninsula of beach, so they have quite a big beach.
Okay, we got you. There's no cars. How did they get there?
I don't know. Did
you they, say it's no cars,
Uber?
But...
No, I said they were
maybe they
parking.
Came 40,000 people didn't Uber.
The parking lot
maybe they
closed.
Did.
So maybe somebody dropped people off and then took the car back?
That's quite an undertaking.
To me, it was amazing, but I never, ever read or heard about how the herds of people got there.
Listen, the bottom line is they're not going to be able to stop anybody. Now, I was listening to this podcast from PragerU, until it's safe means never. Now, we have to really consider.
And so what does PragerU know about pandemics?
I don't know.
Curiosity.
I mean, you know, the point
I mean,
was
is
not
Dennis
about.
Prager the last
yeah,
one
yes. No. I. You're using scoffery, and you haven't.
I'm not
you,
scoffing.
Yes,
I'm
you are. I can sense
question.
It.
Question.
Why do you ask your question?
Why did you quote Dennis Prager?
I didn't say a quote.
As opposed to a.
Dr. Fauci, who
yeah,
was
exactly.
associated with the AZT drug and the rollout and
yeah,
the financial enrichment from that.
But he actually
oh,
been
yeah, yeah.
the head doctor of this
that nobody
force,
give a shit what he been
White
appointed
House
of.
The force on the coronavirus.
I thought you didn't like the White House.
I don't.
And who appointed him? I thought you everything House. Trump did was bad, according to your world. Did he appoint Dr. Fauci? Because that must be bad, right, Barbara? Or is that the first right thing the president's done?
No. Is, He didn't do it.
Oh, he didn't do it. Who appoints other than the president?
Somebody in his administration. Probably the...
You have no facts when you say probably.
I think the Secretary
I believe that you are shunning the president. You know, you're disrespecting the president. The president appointed him. That's why he moved the boy aside. And that's why the president said he ain't coming to talk to nobody about shit. I'm not over talking to you. I'm just saying, you know you hate Trump. So why are you happy about Dr. Fauci, who was appointed by Trump?
Negative about Trump.
You always do. Okay, say one good thing about Trump right now.
Because everyone here that's listening can see how a Trump supporter behaves as opposed to a non-Trump supporter.
Yeah, we got guns.
You just proved.
We got guns. We Trump supporters got guns. We started it. Wait. He's an efficient kid right now. What did Trump say? Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. I got to hear this. You keep the troops entertained. Hold on, a bit from PragerU.
No, please.
No, please. It's too bad.
Oh. Hello, my friends. I'm Dennis Prager. This is the Fireside Chat.
Okay. Well,
comes to you every week, even during quarantine.
No, I'm going to let them have the show. I'm going to take a cigarette break. Enjoy.
I'm going to say this, that people come to my house to make this video possible. The risk that I'm taking is breathtaking. All right, look, by now many of you know my view, and I will invite you to read my columns on this issue and to listen to past or watch past Fireside Chats. You know, I think some words need to be said at the outset about the word safe. So we have a meme now up at PragerU. And it says, until it's safe means never. This notion of the pursuit of safe is life suppressing. It's true for your own individual life, and it is true for the life of a society. I always give this example. I have been taking visitors to Israel for many years. And this is a typical call that I will get and I have for decades. Dennis, oh, I would so love to visit Israel, but I'm just going to wait until it's safe. So of course, this precedes by decades the current coronavirus quarantine and lack of sense of safety. And I always told these people, I said, I don't understand what that means until it's safe. Then you'll never go. And sure enough, they never went. And I've been gone. I've been visiting there like, I don't know, I've gone there over 20 times. I have never led my life on the basis of until it's safe. And I don't take ridiculous risks. I don't believe in that. So I wear a seatbelt every time I'm in a car. That's a ridiculous risk. Because if you're in a bad accident, the chances are overwhelming that a seatbelt can save your life. So, of course, I don't do bungee jumping. I don't know. Maybe that's completely safe. But unnecessary risks are pointless. But in order to lead a full life, you are not on earth to be safe. You are on earth to lead a full life. You know, maybe this is a good time to remind people, and I'm not being facetious at all, everyone dies. Everyone. And I knew this when I was young. That's why I started writing about the afterlife and the whole question about that when I was in high school. I thought about these things. And, you know, of course, it's so remote when you're young that, correctly, it should not preoccupy you. Of course, there's something wrong with you if death preoccupies you when you're 18 years of age. It doesn't preoccupy me, and I'm way beyond 18 years of age. But I know it's inevitable, and so I know that I don't want on my tombstone, as it were, I don't want my epitaph to be, he led a safe life. it's like another epitaph I don't want. He had as little pain as possible. I don't want pain, and I like safety, but I don't live to have a painless life, and I don't seek to always be safe. I don't even know what that means. Then you don't live. I went to 130 countries. Some of them were not super safe. And anyway, nothing is super safe. What does it mean, safe? Safe doesn't exist. There are degrees of safety, clearly. But anyway, that's not the point. I never think about that. And that's part of the reason I've led such a rich life, is because I don't think what's safe. Just a little example, which I've never talked about. So I have conducted orchestras for much of my adult life, periodically. I raise funds for orchestras by conducting a symphony with them, for example, as I did. The best known one is at the Disney Concert Hall. I conducted the Santa Monica Symphony Orchestra. I taught myself to conduct when I was very young. I did learn how. I am not a professional conductor.
Okay, Dennis, I hate to cut you off there, but I think the audience gets the point. We'll bring you back later if we've got some requests.
I don't get nervous. Okay. I could stand in front of 10,000 people and it's like talking to friends. These things don't make me nervous, but I was very nervous the first time I conducted an orchestra, and it was a rehearsal. I was so nervous, I was actually dripping sweat onto the score. I'll never forget this, as I saw droplets falling onto the score. And I don't sweat like that. It's just, as I say, I don't get nervous, but I was, and I knew it because that's not my field. I was standing up in front of people who are professional or advanced non-professionals. So I knew this is not my field. Can I do a good job? Can I show them I know what I'm doing? I was aware of that. What I did was, I didn't play it safe. Playing it safe would have meant I didn't take the invitation to conduct an orchestra. That would have been the safer thing to do. And the truth is, at my very first rehearsal, I was so nervous, I lost the place in the score. By the way, I'll never forget, the orchestra fell apart. And I looked at the orchestra and I said, I'm really embarrassed. But on the other hand, there's good news and bad news. The bad news is I lost my place. The good news is the fact that you fell apart means you were actually looking at me. And I meant that. It was so sincere. I had this vision that they were going to totally ignore me. They'd watch the first violin, who was going to really, the first violinist, the concertmaster, as they're called, that person would do the real conducting, and I would just be there with a baton. But it really, wow, holy crow, they really are following me. So anyway, I didn't play it safe by doing that. And that's a good example. All of life confronts you with these questions. Are you going to play it safe? You play it safe, you don't get married. You play it safe, you don't have kids. That's playing it safe. There are real risks in getting married. There are real risks in having kids. You don't know how they'll turn out. You could be the greatest parent in the world. How do you know they won't have a debilitating illness? Even if you're the greatest parent in the world, you can't do anything about that.
Well, see, there you go. Well, anyway, there's my ode, or his ode, to, hey, wait a minute, are you still in civil liberties? We want to go outside. Like the kids in Orange County, they said, we don't care about the coronavirus, which is not smart. Let me go on the record on this podcast and say, The issue is not that. The issue is the creeping hand of they become desirous of more control, and they manipulate this circumstance to be extended beyond what is necessary and destroy our economy or make the small businessmen never return. A lot of these restaurants are the ultimate in small businessmen. We know they would fail in anyway, and this is not going to help. Now, those empty buildings never to return because there's no capital to reconstitute those businesses. I mean, people are not going to have a job. Now, whoever did this and however this occurred, we won't have to worry about that. Government to government will deal with that. Okay? And yeah, whatever about propaganda, Madison Avenue invented that. Here's to Edward Bernays. Okay? So you can't use propaganda against the place that created it in the first place. Why? Well, we're just better at it. We didn't utilize it, but we see it and we say, what about that scientist, Barbara?
Are you talking about the woman Chinese scientist?
Yeah.
Yeah, you mentioned her today because you had just read an article about her today, which you were unable to find.
No, I found it.
Oh, did you? Oh, yeah. Good. I haven't seen it then. But when you did mention it to me, I knew about the woman because I had read about her several weeks ago. I think either the New York Times or the Washington Post had done an article about her. And she was a scientist who worked in China, in Wuhan, and in other places. And her specialty was working on viruses.
No, what kind of virus? She had
she had worked on a bat virus.
Oh, bat virus, huh?
So
just what we need.
Well, what they discovered about this bat virus.
It's not funny, but it's really, well, yeah, they discovered. Why did we even have to even, why would you want to have?
I am going to try to finish.
I know, I'm just, everybody is just gone.
I would like to finish.
You will, we got to do. Go on.
She discovered that there was a property in the nucleus of the bat virus that enabled that virus to actually attach to a human cell.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore invade the human body. Now, the coronavirus and other viruses that make people sick don't mm-hmm. all have this.
So are you saying that the bat virus that attaches to the humans don't make you sick?
I guess
because you said others that make you sick.
I guess you know what I'm going to say, so I'll let
you finish. Well, I don't know. Go ahead, stop that. You know, really. Come on now.
Is it my turn?
I mean, there is no turn. We're just free flowing. Go on.
So what was unique about this woman scientist is that she had spent about 10 years concentrating on viruses, and she worked for, of course, the Chinese government. And she worked with combining this bat virus to viruses that make people sick because it enabled the virus to attach itself to cells in the human body.
So yeah, we got that part.
Therefore, it could be a biological weapon.
So
what happened was I read all of this a few weeks ago and I said, oh my goodness, that's amazing. I mean, here she is. She was working in Wuhan. She was working with bat viruses and she was trying, she had successfully created this thing, according to what I had read. Then I didn't hear anything about
it. No, she came out, the communists had her come out and say, no, the bat virus that she admitted attaches to the human cell system, however it does it, but I'm not a scientist. Yeah, ain't got nothing to do with the coronavirus.
I'm telling you what I read a few
and
days
I'm telling
ago.
You what today says.
I know.
Let's
that
talk
was
about
interesting
okay,
to me,
but now let's get up to date because this is
occurring. You tell us about today because I don't know.
Yeah, well, what about today is this? Now she said that we all know that censorship is like super quantinium X, trademark Pope. Quantinium X. It's never ending. They surveil everything. She had to say whatever they said. But the article I read says she happens to not be in China anymore. She surfaced. Where you might say, excuse me. Wow. She surfaced in France. Wow, France, you say. Didn't want to be at the bees that did a peace deal over there. They usually head to France. Yes, but where is she at?
Well, you know, France was in.
Yeah, I know. That's why I used the quip.
I see.
You should. That's why I used Quip. Thanks a lot. Now, let me finish. Now, she happens to be in France at the U.S. Embassy. Well, looks like they will be getting her back from there. She supposedly brought a hoard of papers with her. Now, we all know that she was made to say those things in China under censorship. But now that she's free, down the street from the Louvre and probably being sated, and we are going over her stash of paperwork, we will soon have a case before whatever tribunal or world government body to say, you know what, we're going to get our money. But before we get our money, we're going to have to go and we're going to have to take care of this situation. What? Oh, those islands over there? Nah. We'll get back to that later.
Protect their property in the digital age. With a growing number of employees working from home and 96% of people shopping online, protecting your commercial investment property is more important today than it has ever been. Keeping commercial renters is becoming increasingly difficult as more and more retailers shutter their doors to move toward an online profit. You need to think on a smaller scale and provide new ways to entice companies to stick with you even as times get lean for brick-and-mortar locations. 12 members of Forbes Real Estate Council share some of the ways commercial real estate investors can protect their properties in an age where a growing number of people shop online and work from home. Here's what they had to say. The following excerpt is an answer given by Michael Polk of Polk Properties. For additional responses from members of the Forbes Real Estate Council, check out the full article on Forbes.com. Position for the small footprint. Landlords are now faced with the end of the big box comfort.